Tonight's message is going to be like a sidebar in our series through Hebrews. Last week we took a bird's eye view of chapter 11 and just saw how faith fits into what has been said in the book up to now. And I mentioned that I wouldn't take the time to go through the chapter and examine each of the so-called heroes of the faith stories. Perhaps we'll do that sometime. But today I will look closely at the faith of one extremely important figure to the Jewish people and also to us as well. I mean, how can we talk about faith and not mention Abraham? After all, in Galatians, he is referred to as the man of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, 7 through 9, we can read Paul's words. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that is, those who are not descendants of Abraham by genetics, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, quote, all nations will be blessed through you. That was God's great promise to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. A significant chunk of Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to Abraham's faith, and so we would do well to take a closer look at that faith. Abraham first appears in the book of Hebrew. He's first mentioned back in chapter 6. We looked at it a little bit last week. I want to review those verses, chapter 6, Hebrews 6, 13 through 20, and it reads like this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having waited patiently, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's important to remember that true biblical faith is grounded on and resting on the Word of God. The steadfast promise of God. So this would be a good time, a little history lesson, to go back and remember some of the major highlights in the life of Abraham. We could go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, where he is called by God from Haran to the land of Canaan. And he was given the promise of being a great nation and a blessing to all. And he was 75 years old when this occurred. Okay, that's important to keep in mind, especially if you're sitting here thinking, I'm too old to be used of God. It really didn't start kicking in for Abraham till he was 75. So hang on, God's not done with you. And then we can look at Genesis chapter 15. God here makes a promise that a child will be born to Abraham and his descendants will be as numerous as the stars. I've been sitting out under the stars a lot this last summer, And I often think of this verse and just think, you know, Abraham must have had some tough days and some days when he had to go out and look at the stars and just remember God's promises are true. And every time he looked at the stars, he had to think of that night when God told him here in Genesis 15, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. Next, we look at Genesis 17. This is 24 years after arriving in the land of Canaan, during which time he had lived as a sojourner in a tent. He's told that God will fulfill the promise through a child born to Sarah, not Hagar. He thought he could, you know, kind of jumpstart God's plan. It didn't work out so well. And then in Genesis 21, when he was 100 years old, he held on to the truth of the promise against all the natural odds of he or Sarah conceiving and bearing a child. He received the initial fulfillment of that promise in the birth of his son Isaac. I remember holding my sons when they were first born. Can you imagine what that was like for Abraham to hold that child? Just the Holy Ghost goosebumps that must have gone through him holding the child of the promise. Just incredible. Just incredible. And this is why in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15, it says, so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. The birth of Isaac was a pledge, a guarantee that the other blessings given in that promise would be granted. The land as an inheritance and descendants as numerous as the stars. And in that pledge, Abraham is said to have received what was promised. He had waited a long time for that. 25 years. And it doesn't appear that during that time he grew weary or doubted, but I mean, he was human. The scriptures don't give evidence that he doubted or wondered, did I hear him right? I do that sometimes. Do you? Did I really hear God right? Did God really say, go pastor a church? Really? And here almost 13 years later, I'm still wondering. But he persevered. And he persevered in confident expectation of the fulfillment of what God had said he would do. Remember the definition of faith. Faith found in 11:1. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Abraham did not live long enough to see his descendants as numerous as the stars, nor the Messiah who was to descend from him, nor the blessings which would result to the entire world because of the birth of that child. But he saw the certainty that all of this would occur. He saw by faith the Messiah in the distance, and the numerous blessings which would result from his coming. It is a remarkable example of faith. It must have been a huge encouragement to the Christians to whom the book of Hebrews was written to persevere in their race of faith, to keep going and avoid the dangers at all cost of falling away. It was Abraham's inability to see with his physical eyes the fulfillment of the promises that we see in Hebrews 11:13. That says all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Now that's an interesting phrase. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Abraham and the rest of the patriarchs never saw the fulfillment of the promises with their physical eyes. But through eyes of faith, they were able to see into the future to a time when these things would be fulfilled. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Some translations say they embraced them, which gives the mental image of them holding them near and dear to their heart, to their soul. Now I want to show you something that caught my attention that's really exciting. You've heard, did you see the old Twilight Zone show? Anybody ever use? You've heard of the dimension of time, the dimension of space. And I want to show you another dimension. And I thought about Dan, I thought about the fifth dimension. And that we would sing Up, Up, and Away in My Beautiful Balloon. But that would just be too corny. And so we're not going to do that. But this is a dimension beyond the fifth dimension. This is a dimension of faith. Okay, the board members are taking notes. New pastor search. This is the dimension of faith. Similar to the Twilight Zone, this transcends time and space. But the faith dimension isn't creepy, and it's not eerie. It won't give you nightmares like the Twilight Zone did to me when I was little. The dimension of faith lifts you outside, up and outside of your current circumstances. Your present time, your location, it's not bound by those things. Faith takes you, we could say faith takes you out of this world. It looks past your current circumstances and your troubles. And it allows you to see the fulfillment of God's great promises as if they were a present reality. Hebrews 11:13 says they saw the promises of God, the coming Messiah, in their days, long before the events actually took place. Now we jump up a couple thousand years to John chapter 8, from the time of Abraham to John chapter 8. In this section, verses 31 through 59 in John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching in the temple area. And Jesus is having an intense back and forth with the Jews about truth and lies and slavery and freedom and sons of Abraham and sons of God. And the people keep insisting that they are children of Abraham. And Jesus tells them that if they were truly Abraham's children, they would do what Abraham did. And then we come to verse 56, and Jesus just drops this bombshell right on them. And they don't know what to do with it. Verse 56, John chapter 8, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." You see what Jesus is saying there? Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Hebrews 11:13 says he saw it. And now Jesus confirms that Abraham saw it through eyes of faith. Now this seeing by faith concept, it's not some fantasy by which we can escape, or we're to escape our reality. It's not wishful thinking. Remember, true biblical faith is based on the rock solid, unshakable, unchanging promises of God. Not on a pipe dream, not on a hope so, not a wish. Like a coin in a wishing well. It's rock solid. It's a sure promise of God. This is going to be a quick sermon. I hope Andrea and the kids don't mind. Because we're heading into the conclusion. concluding with Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. It says this. Well, we've just listed a whole bunch of people from the Old Testament, named and unnamed. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They saw them and welcomed them in their distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. We talked about that last week. Do you consider yourself an alien, a stranger on this earth? I know some of us are stranger than others, but do we try to fit in a little too much in this world instead of really saying, this world is not my home. I really don't fit in here the way other people expect me to or want me to. I have different priorities. I have different dreams. I have different goals. I have different motives in this life than the world does. And that should make us look different. That should make us look like aliens and strangers. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Abraham could have gone back to Haran. He could have said, you know, I'm a little tired of living in tents. I had a pretty nice home back in Haran. I'm going back. This isn't worth it. But he had the rock solid, unchangeable promise of God that blessings would come. You might not see them, but they're going to come. And they're going to come through you. Okay, going on. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Remember way back, weeks back, maybe a month or so or more, when we covered Hebrews chapter 4, where the author is talking about the ones who rebelled against the Lord, and he quotes Psalm 95, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Remember that? Remember talking about that? The rebellion, just to refresh you, the rebellion talking about there is, and Israel had a lot of rebellions to choose from, but the one talked about here is found in Numbers 13, 26 through 14, verse 10. We talked a lot about that. It was the nation of Israel had come out of slavery in Egypt, and God had performed many miracles to bring them out. And now they are here at the border of the promised land. And God had performed many miracles to bring them to the border, miraculously providing water and food and protection. And they send in 12 spies to check out the land. And the spies come back, and 10 of them say, there are giants living there, and the cities are fortified with huge walls. There's no way we can take this land. We're like bugs to them. Two of the spies. Extra credit if you can tell me their names. Caleb. Oh, you're so good. Caleb and Joshua. They were the ones who said, no, 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 we can take the land. It is a great land, and God has given us this land. Don't be afraid. We can do it. Those are words of faith. They saw the same giants. They saw the same walled cities. But they remembered the promise of God. You will take this land. But the people believed the ten, and they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And I'm telling you, folks, walking by faith will not make you popular with the world. They'll want to stone you. The people said, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? I mean, that seems like the logical thing, right? We can't go that way. There's giants and walled cities. Let's just go back to Egypt. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. These people were thinking about the country that they had left. And they saw an opportunity to return. And they wanted to return. Did they get to return? No. You know, they saw the giants, they saw the walled cities, they saw struggle, they saw hardship. They saw that this road we're on is not an easy road. And for some reason, somehow, they forgot that whole Red Sea parting thing. They forgot the miraculous provision of water and food in the desert. And the giants and the walled city and the struggles ahead of them made them think, yeah, we can't do it. This is all for nothing. Dan, why don't you lead us back to Egypt? Let's go. We'll take your truck. We could all pile in the trailer and go. Wear your mask because there's none. They lacked the faith. And their eyes fell off of God's promises, and their bodies fell dead in the desert. Don't let that happen to you. Cling to the promises of God. How are your eyes of faith these days? I want you to do something with me. Close your eye. Close your physical eyes. Close your physical eyes. And open your eyes of faith. Can you see through eyes of faith? Can you see Christ offering himself as a sacrifice on the cross? Can you see Christ, and this is some of the stuff we've been talking about in Hebrews, can you see Christ now offering his blood, his own blood, in that heavenly holy of holies? Can you see with eyes of faith your sins being washed away? Can you see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can you see the fulfillment of Jesus' words, "Behold, I go and prepare a place for you"? Can you see through eyes of faith the Holy Spirit descending on you, perhaps as a dove, as at Jesus' baptism, or maybe a purifying fire as at Pentecost, or something else? Can you see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit within you, changing, cleansing, making a new person, being formed in the image of Christ? These things are not discerned with our physical eyes, but with eyes of faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. O Lord, increase my faith. Jesus, I often think of that man that came to you whose child was sick and near death, asking you to heal him, and you told him if he had faith, his child would be well. And he answered the most honest answer you probably ever received, and that was, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And how many times, oh God, I have cried that out to you. I believe, help my unbelief. I want to stand on the rock solid promises of your word, oh God. I know that you have cleansed me of sin. I know that you have forgiven all. I know that you have called me in this life. I know that you have given me your spirit. I know that you are changing me. I know that I am not the man I once was. Glory to you. Help my unbelief. Oh Lord, you are great and mighty. And there's so much around us that is dragging our attention away from your promises, that cause us to be distracted. And I was thinking earlier, Lord, how often we spend so much time and energy playing around with the things of the world, like kids playing in a sandbox, when there's so much more you have for us. We paddle around in the shallow end of the pool where you want to take us into the ocean depths of your love and your work and your grace and all that you have for us. Remember someone reading a quote from someone about, Lord, may we not become pleased with the lesser things of this world. Oh God, keep us hungry and striving for the deep things, those things that we cannot see. Lord, would you do this powerful transformational work in us? Would you cleanse our hearts by faith and make us a new people for your glory? We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. Lord, help us to remember Abraham. Thank you for clear nights where we can go out and see the stars and remember, be reminded of your great promises to us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, we worship you, and we adore you. And it's in your holy and powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.